One of Warrington's greatest ever rugby league heroes, Bobby Fulton, has died at the age of 73. Bobby was born in Warrington in 1947, growing up in Stockton Heath. He emigrated at the age of three with his family to Australia. Bobby Fulton would go on to be a rugby league superstar, playing for Manly at Brookvale and representing his country as both a player and a coach for the formidable Kangaroos.
Caught by Maguire, Jones, Fulton, the brilliant Fulton, and Fulton scores! What a great try! First try of the match, a great try!
Really, at insult to injury, runs around right under the post, and to add, almost certainly add an extra 2 points. Well, there we saw just, you know, what Bobby Fulton can do. He's a tremendous player. There's no keeping him down. He's irrepressible.
In the 1969-70 British League season, Wire fans were delighted when Bobby returned to his hometown to play for Warrington. Fulton was one of the heroes of the 1973 Kangaroo Tour, which saw him starring in the only Test match played at Warrington's Wilderspool Stadium. He returned again to Warrington as captain of the Australian 1978 touring Kangaroo side. And on that cold night at Wilderspool, was famously beaten by the mighty Wire, the last time a club side has ever beaten Australia.
For the World Cup, and there's a break here. There's trouble here as Bob McCarthy can run, and outside him is Bobby Fulton, and he's in for a try. Fulton to make the scores equal 17-17.
Bobby would go on as a player to represent Australia a staggering 35 times and on 40 occasions as their national coach. He played 17 occasions for New South Wales, playing 213 premiership games for Manly and 50 for Easts. He would coach his beloved Sea Eagles on over 300 occasions and the Roosters 100 times. Fulton leaves a legacy as one of the original four immortals in the Australian game, a player seen to have been the most iconic the sport has ever produced. Bobby Fulton was the genuine legend of rugby league and will always be a Warringtonian.
Coming up on the podcast, Warrington become the most attacking side in Super League. Rumours mount on players to and from the Halliwell Jones. Daniel has a controversial opinion on Greg Inglis, or is he simply stating the facts? The Bermuda Triangle confuses Mutiny on the HJ. Their statistics fails, and probably the unexpected. Predictions on Wolves fighting the Tigers for a place at Wembley. And that's only 9.3% of the show. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and following playing two teams ending in the word Ford, where are my two poorly paid, yes, affordable podcasters? Firstly, a man that streams us with a torrent of facts every week. Yes, wading his way through a ford of statistics we can barely endure. It's Sam Waterboarding Sankey!
Hello there!
And also, an old lad that stops this podcast in its tracks with a Fordone view and all that's about to follow. Back again, it's Dennis Downbeat Waywell.
All right.
Well, it's good to be back, lads, in some ways. I'm a little bit tired. Can I just say, it's only just turned 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning here. So I must say, I'm sort of coming off the bench today. I think you're the two starting props, and I'll warm up and come on about two-thirds of the way in to the podcast. How are you doing, Sam? You all good? You're in your old green, all stripy green and white shirt there, I see.
I thought, given that we played in the away kit yesterday, I'd dig this out from the back of the cupboard. It smells a bit, actually. It probably needs a wash. Probably didn't wash it last time I put it on.
It's got a big collar on, hasn't it? You could really grab hold of that collar in the olden days. I've thought of a really good idea. We should do body paint. I think that'd be a...
That's a really good idea.
So there's nothing to grab hold of.
Well, yeah.
How are you, Dennis? Are you having a little tipple tonight with it being your Saturday evening?
I am, yes. This has been the first time for the podcast this year, I think, isn't it? Recording on a Saturday night. Sam's looking at me with a gaze now, but...
Yeah, Sam's going to tell you now we've recorded about 8 times on a Saturday night, mate, aren't we?
It's a Friday night.
Oh, is that's it? Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I could really recommend this, Timothy Taylor's. Yeah, this is the best one, Hopical Storm. So, yeah, I'm going to start plugging them again now because I've just got their new landlord keg. So,
very nice.
It's, quite.
I'm addicted to kombucha at the moment. I've gone through the entire range. So I'm drinking a lot of kombucha cola. I'm absolutely off me tits every night at about 10:30. Feet are just tapping. Right. Really itchy. Yeah. Right, should we move on to the game then, boys? We've got two games to review. We're not going to go through all the tries, as Sam has clearly pointed out, because we'd be here for about a week with the 96 tries we've scored. So we'll do a bit of an overview for both games. We'll start with the Castleford review. The Wire team was Ratchford, Thulis, Mamo, King, Charnley, Flaky Blake, Widdop, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Hughes and Philbin at 13. Interchange bench was Joshen Clark, Mulhern, Davis and Butler. We certainly served up a terrific performance with a final score of Warrington 38, Castleford 12. Half-time it was a little bit closer at 16-10. It was Steve Price's 100th game in charge of the Wire. There was tries, a hat-trick for Widdop, two for King, one for Charnley and one for Darrell Clark. Ratchford kicked 5 out of 8 goals with a 62.5% kicking ratio. Sam, you were there again, mate. How was it, mate?
Yes, it was excellent. I think we'll start with a caveat. Why not start the podcast with a caveat?
Press the button, Dennis. Press the button.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
I'm not going to have many downbeat moments this week.
Oh, good.
It was a weakened Castleford team, and we took 15 or 20 minutes really to get on top of them properly. We made a couple of errors, but overall, we scored some lovely tries, and it was great to be there in person.
Oh. Tonight's score, Castleford 6, Leeds 60, Dennis. Do you think they're already teeing themselves up for next weekend?
I think the wheels have dropped off, haven't they, somewhat? I don't know. I think we've got a relatively easy week next week, is all I'd say.
I can't see Castleford
coming back from that.
Well, we've done the predictions. That's it for tonight. We're done, aren't we? We've gone through the entire script. That's it.
Interesting tonight is that I noticed Liam Watts was back, Matautia was back, and Greg Eden was back tonight. So although I've not seen the tries, he had a stronger team. Yeah, looks like it.
Just didn't play. I mean, we've done that before, haven't we, where we've gone into cup semi-finals over the years and put out pretty dodgy teams the week before. So I think it's quite clear that Castleford are setting themselves up for next week. But we'll come on to that in the predictions at the end. I didn't see too much of the game. I was watching it on the Our League app. I managed to surprisingly log in, which is almost impossible to break into at the Our League app. But this time I did manage to achieve it. And then I fell fast asleep. So I didn't really see that much
of
it.
I've got a few points to start us off with. If we want to look at the Cass first try, I think there was a lot of people suggesting that, you know, where the hell was that gap? But I made a note at the time, and I think Philbin might have been called offside by the referee because he almost didn't make any effort, and the gap was there. So, you know, you could argue that it wasn't sloppy defence or anything. He was just playing to the referee.
Yeah, okay. Widdop is on fire, no doubt about it. I mean, sort of, you know, you can't not talk about him over both games. To me, Sam, he looks like the form, not only form halfback in the competition, but the form player in the comp. He'd be my first person on any team sheet at the moment, the way he's playing. Totally different to the way he was last year, almost.
Yeah, he's playing with a smile on his face. I have a little more on the numbers coming up later.
Yeah.
But it's clear that his mind's on the job. He's not distracted like he obviously was last year. And he's brimming with confidence. That confidence is oozing into the team, and the team's playing with a smile on its face.
Mm. It's quite hard to really sort of stay off the method of all what we're going to talk about tonight without concluding, you know, keep concluding through this podcast where it's all gone right. I mean, there was no Greg Inglis, and we'll come on to Greg a little bit later, but it seems, Dennis, that now that they're not having to sort of fit Inglis in the side, that side just looks a little bit more the way it should be on paper. You suddenly put Greg Inglis in there, and all of a sudden we're moving people out of position to seem to accommodate Inglis's needs.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think I broke down the spine of the side, and when you look at this match overall and look at who's touching the ball in terms of, like, when we're scoring the tries, you've got Clark, Austin, Widdop, Ratchford, and that sort of combination of those players is basically giving us the spine of the side. And, you know, through all the different injuries with Ashton going out and Inglis not being available, then it looks like that's just now settled into the perfect balance.
Mm.
Yeah, we once again did favour our left-hand side. And against Castleford, four of the tries came directly down that left channel. But we are offering more on the right, and by offering a bit more on the right-hand side, it means clubs have got to actually look at two threats, and ironically then giving us more room on the left. The other thing of note over the Castleford game and the Salford game that we'll talk about shortly is the number of tries we're scoring from distance. You know, across the two games we scored 16 tries, of which six of them started outside of 40 metres, i.e. 40 metres or further away from our try line, from the try line. And only six of them started within the opponent's 20. So we're really attacking from deep, not with a deep line, but from deep, and finishing off some moves.
Would you say that the effort's there, Sam?
I don't think... I'm not quite sure of your question in so much that...
Do you think it's like, you know, because they're putting a lot of effort in there now than they were previous when we weren't doing so well?
Personally, I don't think the effort has ever been in doubt with a Steve Price team. It's not effort that's lacking, it's perhaps composure and a bit of finesse. But with the confidence that a few wins has brought, then obviously the composure's there and they're finishing off the moves rather than being desperate to do them.
So have you lost your composure? Because we've not seen these bloody stats on that little drawing you were doing of the thing for the past couple of weeks. What's happened to that?
Oh, it looks messy this week with 10 tries. His line's going pigging everywhere.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was quite good this week, it was good to see Charnley get back in with a try. And I thought that was a really good finish, that was. I just thought I'd put that out there.
Super. You know,
considering we were calling him and he was... this, that and the other, I think it's quite good.
Mm. We've spoken before, haven't we, about a lot of Warrington's tries come from long range rather than close to the line. I also wonder maybe if that is an indication of Super League, that when you do break the line, it's kind of draw the fullback, throw it and you score. Just wondering the NRL maybe, if when teams do break away, there's sort of more defensive players that have the legs to get back. I just wonder if... that has something to do with it. But,
might be, although watching Melbourne, whenever Melbourne make a break, they seem to score, don't they?
Well, yes, yeah, that's true. On to what the comments after the game were. Steve Price said, "Gareth has been competing and been class all season. I thought he was the best player on the park. He's in a really good place, and his chemistry with Blake Austin and Stephen Ratchford was really pleasing. I feel he has been the form halfback in the competition. Hopefully Shane Warne will be taking notice." Dennis, would you bring Gareth Widdop into that starting 11 now? Do you see him opening the batting now, the way that he's playing?
Absolutely. I don't think you can look past him, can you? I think everybody agrees he's the form player. How many tries did he get? Three tries in this match? I think he followed it up this week. So,
Yeah, definitely. I have a funny feeling that he's actually found a coffee he likes. You know, he was really struggling, you know, when he'd moved from Bohemian Melbourne, and he'd really struggled that first year finding a decent coffee.
Did he not
in Halifax.
Buy a coffee machine? I think he's got a...
bought a coffee machine, yeah. Mm. And also, he's sort of taking pictures on Instagram of this cup of coffee he's got. So maybe it was all about the beans. He's just full of beans.
I hope he had some clothes on, because it's quite shiny, that coffee machine.
That's true. Don't want to get you cocking the sort of bit. Coming, will that be concave or convex?
Convex,
Convex.
Are you on about on the spout? Yeah.
Who wants a convex penis through a coffee machine? Daryl Powell said we had 10 or 11 players injured today and they would all get in the 17, so it's a tough one and you just have to cop it and move on. We have Warrington again in the Challenge Cup semi-final. We will regroup quickly, hopefully get some of the boys back, and we will be a team we know we can be. Is it just me, or is it every season Daryl Powell seems to have about 20 players out? Who trains them at Castleford? I'm getting a bit worried that he's going to come to Wyre and we're going to end up with about 10 players out every week. Have you noticed that, Sam?
Yes, he's always... I tell you what he is good for. He's good for a bit of a moan, is Daryl. We have noticed that.
I've heard that the Castleford fans have been moaning a bit, almost saying that if they don't do well, then they want to part company with Daryl.
Well, their league season's not looking the best, is it? If they've been beaten six by 60 points tonight, so he is putting all his eggs in one basket next week, isn't it? You would think if he loses to Wyre in the Challenge Cup semi-final, they really are going to be venting some anger the following week. They're going to want him on his way. So, does that mean Lee Breers goes over there for the rest of the season? Wait and see. Right, let's move on to the second game, boys. It was at Salford. The Wyre team, not too dissimilar to the week before or the few days before. It was Ratchford, Lynham came in, Mamo, King, Charnley, Flaky Blake, Widdop, Hill, Walker and Philbin in the front row. Curry, Hughes and Davis at 13. Interchange bench was Akawala, who came back from suspension. Mulhern, and we had two Clarks. We had a pair of Clarks on the bench, in Daryl and Jason. Jason becoming the new Ellis Robson. Oh, sorry, Daryl becoming the new Ellis Robson. Not being used during the game. Final score, Salford 18. Boom. Warrington 62. There were tries for Ratchford, Walker, King got two. Marmo Mike got two. Widdop got two. Hill, Curry and goals 11 from 11, 100% kicking ratio for Ratchford. Who wants to start on this one, boys? It was like the Harlem Globetrotters, wasn't it? Wonderful, Dennis.
I think we should mention about the fact that, you know, we've dropped Thulis for this game. You know, he didn't have a particularly great game against Castleford. I think he dropped the ball and a couple of little mistakes. You know, is that the right time, do you think, for dropping a, you know, after him finding his place?
I think he needed to be dropped after that. I think he dropped a couple. You've got to have competition for places in the side. And Lynham's been itching on the sideline for a bit. Doesn't mean that he can't come back the following week if Lynham has a shocker, but that's Super League. That's pressure, isn't it? That's professional sport. If you're not up to it, go and have a think about it for 80 minutes. So, as good as he has been, he wasn't the best, was he, against Castleford? I think he dropped more than one, didn't he? Didn't he drop a couple?
Yeah, he dropped two. He dropped a couple. And I think really you've summed that up well. I was delighted that when Thewlis had a couple of good games, Price didn't automatically drop him when Lynham was fit. But likewise, the moment he has a iffy one, it's fair enough.
Did we gain much momentum off the back of Lynham, Sam? What was his sort of stats like? What was his yardage? Did he get us on the front foot, or was it just pretty hard to see against a Salford team that was backpedalling the whole game?
No, it was hard to compare when you've got Salford, who were awful. But stats overall, it was amazing how many players we had over 100 metres. Ratchford, 122. Lynham, 134. Toby King, 221. Charnley, 106. Widdop, 131. Curry, helped obviously by length of the field, try, 177. And Marmo Mite, 144. Mulhern topped 100 metres as well. We ran for over 600 metres more than Salford. We really dominated the game.
I'm not sure it was a Jake Mamo interview, but it wasn't too far off. It was superb. This is what Toby King had to say after the match.
King, a memorable night for you, your 100th Super League appearance, two tries and a new contract.
Oh, thank you, Jenny. Yeah, it's a nice Thursday night, isn't it? So, yeah, it's a happy days all around.
How, I suppose, obviously, Warrington, for another 4 years, how difficult or easy was the decision?
Yeah, it was really good. Like I said, I've been here since a young boy. And Stu and Simon kindly, generously give us a book. Said, 140 years of Wire. How long has Warrington been in existence? How long? 146 years. So it's 66 years missing. So that would take me to 13 years at the club. And I reckon I'd 9.3%. I would have played in the part of the history. So, yeah, it's a special moment. I think it'll take me to 13 years here. So I'm proud.
I take it no other club even came close then to getting your signature?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. There's some really good clubs that I was, you know, my agent did a lot of work behind the scenes. And, you know, it was a tough one at the end of the day because I had the option to play with my brother, blah, blah, blah. You know, I miss playing with him. I'm a family man, you see. But, yeah, no, really happy to sign now in 4 years and just to see them fans. And, you know, I actually... missed it all, and then I came out the first time they was back, and I didn't realise, you know, you just forget, it's about a year and a half, innit, 18 months with COVID, and you know, I was just so happy and hearing their voices, and I think it just made me think, you know, I'm part of this 9.3% of their history.
You certainly are, Toby King. Congratulations on the win tonight and your new contract.
Thank you. I hope I've done the statistics right. So if it's 9.3% or 146 years, I'm pretty sure, but the book kindly given from Stu that I read, it was 140 years of Wire, just missing 6 years.
Well, there you go.
I did the research. Well, 1876, I think. Oh, 1896. One of them.
Brilliant, Toby.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for talking
Cheers,
to
Jenna.
Us. Bye.
Well, I tell you what, Sam, you must have been on the edge of your seat here when this came in, eh? He was talking statistics. You must have been absolutely. I bet you had your knob out, didn't you? Pants around your ankles.
Like a pig in shit. Like a pig in shit.
Dear.
And I think we have to say thank you to Mike Carter for his, I think it was a tweet, wasn't it, this week, saying we should be all over it. Well, yes, Mike, we are. So let's try and find this 8.9%.
What's the 8.9?
Or whatever he said. What did he say?
He said nothing. Fucking hell, you're as bad as him. 9.6, he said.
You know what? It sounded all professional until that point, Sam.
It did.
Yeah.
Let's try and find this 9.6%.
Just imagine if you're working for NASA and, you know, reapproaching entry into Earth and...
Ah, what do you think it is, Bill? What do you think it is, Bill, that? Rack of the eye. Fuck it, that. Just put it that down there.
Elevation needs to be 8.6. Are you sure it's not fucking 9.6? Jesus.
Yeah. They sent one of the probes out to, it was either Mars or Saturn, and they got it wrong by 0.1%, and it flew by and missed. And that was 9 years worth of planning down the drain. Anyway, back to Toby. Warrington formed in 1876. So that's 145 years ago.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. I'm having a drink.
So... after he completes his foot, because he was on about playing 13 years, so after he's done his new four-year contract, 149 years, 13 divided by 149 is 8.72. Or, if you take it from the
Northern Union... What is this Open University all of a sudden? What's happened here?
If you take it from the Northern Union of 1895, it would be 130 years by the time it's finished, so 13 divided by 130 is 10. So there's nowhere near the numbers Toby was coming up to. So I wondered whether his percentage was actually a subliminal message and it was actually a proportion of the salary cap we're now paying him.
Oh.
And maybe his new contract's worth £200,000.
Wasn't it nice to see that Simon Moran had put a little photo album together for him? Oh, that was sweet. How can we keep him at the club? Get a little photo album and show him all the good times. And he really, it's been hoodwinked there. I'll read out Mike Carter's text. He said, Sam needs to be all over that. If he has been here 13 years out of 146, then that's only 8.9%, but if he's including his new 4 years taking him to 2025, then the club will have been there for 149 years, which is only 8.7%. He has been hoodwinked into signing his new contract by overstating his contribution to the club. Maybe he calculates our salary cap as well. So he's kind of, he's covered all points there. So
Yes.
That's what it is. Well, we also did a little bit of a poll this week just to sort of ascertain.
Just before we move on to that, I've got one other highlight of the game, which I think was Chris Hill chasing back to cut him off at the corner. That was fantastic.
We haven't actually spoken about the game, have we? So we should probably no. do that. I see Flaky Blake gave up on that chase, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He gave up after about 10 yards.
He was like, oh, I'll just bump into Philbin and then I'll give up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's Chris Hill. Come on, Chris, get in there, lad. Jesus.
I think that was one of the best scenes of the season.
I think that was excellent, Dennis. I think you're right to bring it up. And I think the other thing, perhaps, to bring up, Rob's already mentioned that Darrell Clark didn't play at all. Jason Clark got injured after about 4 or 5 minutes. So, in effect, we played the game with 15 men.
And no Clarks.
How long was Akawala on for that?
Oh, it couldn't have been. He seemed like he was on for ages, but he only made 5 carries. Not like him.
Dear. Did Chris Hill actually do anything after that run?
No, that was it for the day. So that was him out as well. So we played with 10 men.
How was our mate Deck Patton? Do you think he needs another game, another 10 games at Salford before he...
He needs another 10 games, doesn't he, eh? Jesus.
Well, I tell you what, when Kevin Brown, your first choice is out, and Deck Patton is supposedly his understudy, but he doesn't get picked, then you know you're in trouble, particularly when you've got a load of injuries.
Well, that kind of brings us on to the next question, which was a vote that we put out on Twitter. To try and sort of summarise where Warrington should be spending the money, there's been so much talk in the last few weeks about who's going where and who's coming in, and, you know, pound signs start to light up. So we put a quote out to ask, where would you like to see Warrington put their money? We gave 4 options, youth development, retaining talent, marquee players, or a free bar. Last was marquee players, only got 10% of the vote. Retaining talent with 25. Free bar came in with 27%. And youth development was the winner at 38%. So what we're saying is that the Warrington fans want to watch the under-16s playing in front of a free bar.
Yeah.
I want to take you to a free bar. Free bar. Fee-ee-ee bar. Let's start a war. Start a Warrington war. At the free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Wah-ah-ah.
Right, well, there's the jingle. We should probably move on to the free bar. It's a new section on the podcast. It's been invented by Dennis. Sam and I are a little bit confused what a free bar is, but Dennis is now going to explain.
Oh, shit. Am I? Right, so what we thought was, because of the success of the poll and it actually generating such an interest from the fans, we thought we'd better sort of reflect that in the podcast. And what we thought was is that because we've got such a large correspondence, we'd encourage people to write in with their thoughts on the match and we'll summarise them in the free bar. And anything goes. If you want to swear a bit, Sam will look at that, make sure it's happy with it.
And your opinions will not be judged at the free bar. You can get it off your chest. We won't say who it is. We'll just say someone's come up to the free bar with a question and we're here to lean on the bar.
No doorman. He's not going to stop anyone. Only those with a cravat or a caveat. He won't let them in.
You're allowed to wear trainers in the bar then?
Anything you want. It's a free bar, Sam. You don't need to show any ID. So we'll start with the first person who's come up to the free bar, and his identity will been disclosed to the podcast. It comes in from a DJ who wears a headband who works for Warrington Hospital Radio. His question is at the free bar, how wank a Salford?
That's a pretty good question.
It's a pretty good question.
Sam?
There's an easy answer. Very.
Are they wanker than Lee?
Shitter.
Not as far as the league table's concerned, because they've won a match, haven't they?
Have they played each other yet? Have Lee played Salford?
Well, that's the point. The relegation game.
That'll be a big one on Sky. Could you imagine that? Lee versus Salford on Sky with Bill Arthur commentating and Barry and Terry. My God, it'll be like the Roosters versus Melbourne. What a game that will be. Do you think they're wanked, Dennis? I mean, I think it's a pretty, you know, open question that day. I mean, sorry, the DJ's asked here. How do you see it? What would you see it? They are wank?
I think they are pretty much wank at the moment. And you've got to understand where wank comes from in this situation. And I think that, you know, because they've lost so many games, there's no confidence in it. And they just can't, succumb to actually sort of getting their act together and, not being wank. I think Dave's spot on. He should write the headlines, really, shouldn't he? You'll have to cut that bit.
I don't think you heard it, to be honest. And we didn't didn't say Birch's second name, did we? So we should be should be fine.
Steve Price's appearance on Sky Sports The Coaching Manual, the BBC has confirmed Price will host their longest-running children's TV programme, Jackanory. A spokesman at CBeebies said the Warrington coach's depiction of Fairyland makes him perfect as their next narrator. Medical reports confirm all is not lost with the mystery surrounding Greg Inglis's hamstring. As it is expected now, test results will be handled by the same laboratory that carbon-dated Stonehenge and the Turin Shroud. And finally, rumours are surfacing that next season Mr. Flaky Blake Austin will be making his way to the Gold Coast of Australia. It is unknown whether he'll be playing rugby league there, but reports do indicate his Instagram account will become even more unbearable.
Right, well, there's the news headlines. It's on now to the stories. Kyle Eastman has announced his retirement. The 31-year-old returned to rugby league with Leeds in March, having previously played rugby union for 9 years with Bath, Wasps and Leicester. Another union boy coming back or trying the game, Salmon. Just didn't work out for him. I was surprised by this one. I thought 31 and the form that Eastman had shown at Saints prior to going to union, he would have fitted in quite well at Leeds, but not the case.
Yeah, I agree. I was surprised because I'd kept an eye on him in union, and although he wasn't,
do you like him?
When he went from Saints to union, and there was potential for him to come to us, I was very excited.
Oh,
yeah,
yes,
but.
That's right. We nearly signed him a few years ago, didn't we? We dangled the carrot.
Well, I know the rugby league turned us down on salary cap because
Is that why we got Luther instead?
Well, no, it was years before that. We offered a small amount for the half season left, and then two larger years, and they said, "No, you've got to take it as an average over the 3 years, so you can't fit him under your cap this year."
Were those larger years counted in Toby King's statistics?
Yeah, quite
good
possibly.
Good point, Dennis. Very good point. Ellis Robson has returned from his loan deal at Widnes just in time to be sent out on loan at Bradford.
He might be recalled again now Jason Clark's got injured, mightn't he?
Jason Clark. Greg Inglis will be out for up to 2 months after tearing his hamstring. Head coach Steve Price said on Tuesday, "It's unfortunate as he's been starting to find some good footy. This game is a roller coaster. Some really good highs and some big lows. Greg understands what it takes and we'll get round them. Support him. It won't be too long before he's back playing." What kind of roller coaster would you say it is, Sam? I'm not seeing the big one at Blackpool at the moment. I'm seeing some shitty one at some fair that's in town for a week.
You think it's more like the Mouse, are you, rather than the Grand National?
That's true. Well, I'll tell you what, let's sum up this before we talk about Greg. Let's hear Daniel's opinion of what he's made of Greg Inglis's time at the Halliwell Jones so far.
Help the aged. One time they were just like you.
This isn't what was supposed to happen, is it? Greg Inglis, one of the greatest. He was supposed to come to Super League, come to Warrington, take it by storm, rip it up, show people who's boss. But he's played three games, well, two and a half really, and in my opinion, I don't think he's looked up to it in any of the three games. Hull KR game, his debut, yeah, he got a try in the second half. Went to fullback in the second half and actually looked a bit better, and then stayed at fullback for the next game, which was Catalans in the Cup. And for me, he looked way off the pace in that game. And then was continued again, you know, at fullback for the Huddersfield match and desperately struggled. Absolutely terrible, in my opinion. Moved to centre and then was taken off with an injury. And I just think it's no coincidence that since that, the second half at Huddersfield, the full game against Castleford and the full game against Salford, Warrington have played brilliantly. And I really do think that, unfortunately, Greg Inglis was being shoehorned into the side and other players, like Ratchford was moved to centre, then Toby King to second row and so forth. Other players were being shifted around into uncomfortable positions to accommodate Inglis. But actually, I think this side, and we've seen this in the last few games, and particularly with that Salford performance, which is a really good performance, particularly in attack, we've seen that this side functions a lot better without Inglis. And you just wonder, what has the benefit of this signing been? Because I don't want to write him off too early, but ultimately, he's played three games and has now got an injury which is going to keep him out for a very considerable part of the season. What kind of contribution is Inglis going to have to the rest of the Warrington season? Because if it's anything like the first three games, it's going to be minimal. And if anything, it could even be a negative contribution. I would argue that having him in the side was inadvertently making us a worse side. So unfortunately, this could go down as a really poor signing. I think ultimately it was always a bit of a risk given that he'd not played for a couple of years, but I think this shows the nature of rugby league. You can't just take yourself out for 2 years and come back and expect to be at a great standard, because rugby league is just such a difficult and physical sport. Maybe some other sports you perhaps could. I mean, you know, we saw Ronnie O'Sullivan take a year out of snooker and come back and win the World Snooker Championship, but you know, rugby league, I think, is such a physical sport. It's, you know, you've got to be on your game and you've got to be playing. And unfortunately, you've only seen an absolute legend of rugby league, Greg Inglis. What an unbelievable player he was. Come back to the sport after a couple of years, playing in England, not playing in Australia, by the way, and really, really struggle. And you start to think, you know, with all these rumours about George Williams kicking about, he could be available if Warrington had some cap space. Well, you know, if only we didn't sign a retired player, because, you know, then we'd have the cap space to go and get a George Williams. Yeah, all in all, I do think this has been a disappointing signing. There was the mystery surrounding his injury, which kept him out of the first few games of the season. We kept getting told different stories on that. Something fishy was going on there, in my opinion. And then he finally did come back, and he only lasted 2.5 games, and he's got injured again. So, yeah, disappointing. But the team are playing pretty well without him.
Sam's got his head in his hands. Dennis has moved away from the mic. No one wants to take this on. Only Daniel's got the balls to say.
Oh, good.
Come on, Sam. Come on, Sam.
Daniel, it's meant to be a week of happiness, mate. This is a happy, upbeat podcast. Bloody hell. I do agree that he should stay at centre. If he comes back fit, he should stay at centre. If he can shift Mamo out of the spot, because obviously Mamo is on fire at the moment, but I don't think he should be going to fullback in the team being shifted around for him. But I think what we're perhaps missing at the minute, or misunderstanding, is the presence he has in the squad. He's a great, he's a rugby league great. We've heard obviously about Bob Fulton earlier. Well, Inglis is in that class, and it is a gamble, or it was a gamble to sign him, but he's not on great money, so it is a gamble that's worth taking. And obviously, fingers crossed, he does get fit for August when it's nice and sunny and warm, and then his muscles might help a bit more, might be a bit looser.
I'd want to get my bloody money's worth. I'd be saying, right, never mind, you know, running around with your new T-shirts and so on, because he's got this new T-shirt business. Get sat in that room coaching him, because you're right. You know, if that's what he wants to do next, here's his opportunity, is to actually, you know, get more involved with the coaching side. Because I think you're right, Sam. You know, with having someone like that in your ranks, you want to, you know, inspire people, don't you? I have got some stats on that injury and how long it takes to heal. Well, they're not really stats. I had a look at some other things around about 8 weeks. You know, it would take someone at Amazon 8 weeks to earn what Jeff Bezos earns in a second. It takes 8 weeks to get rid of scabies. I know that's something I've had to deal with in the past, but, you know, won't go there. Rob, you'll be familiar with this. It takes 8 weeks to get off the side effects of Prozac. So I think you obviously know what that's like. But there is a happiness trap training workshop course. So as you said, Sam, it is Happiness Week. It's 1 to 2 hours a week, unless you live in St. Helens, and it's probably 10 hours a day because you've got all that time anyway because you're not working.
Apparently also it takes 8 weeks to grow pretty much any root vegetable apart from a parsnip.
How long does a parsnip take?
16. Takes twice as long.
Very needy vegetables.
We had a message in from a young man called Matthew. He said, what did he say? He said, maybe with Inglis out of the side now, we'll get some chemistry together and stop fretting over which square peg to put him in, which round hole, in order to fit him into the side. So we've kind of touched on that. I have a funny... hamstring. There must be a fair bit of... He's not been able to stretch it. He's been living in a bungalow, which hasn't helped. And I saw him the other week getting out of an Aston Martin. I mean, Christ, they're hard to get in and out. I mean, they've not been favouring his hamstring. Playing him at fullback, driving around in an Aston Martin, and living in a bungalow.
It's not a good combination. Sam, what have you been seeing from his bin? Has he been sort of bending down to put the bags down and things?
I'm going nowhere near this with you two trying to set me up with shit like that.
Now, come on, tell us about your dog, Sam. What's his business been like this week when you've walked past? I mean, did you get any sort of signs leading up to the matches, what was going to happen?
The dog has walked straight. He obviously don't want to know him. If he's not playing, he don't want to know. He just straight past the house, and he's currently having a piss about 3 or 4 doors further down.
Could you knock on that door and see if you could get the woman from the house to start playing for us? Maybe that's the answer.
How do you know it's a woman?
Hey?
How do you know it's a woman?
Just hoping it was.
Ridiculous.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Okay, a host of stats for you this week. It's been a points avalanche for Warrington. So including the two Challenge Cup games played so far, we've scored 54 tries, or 48 just in Super League. That's 6 per game. And in terms of points, we're averaging 33 points a game. Wigan are only averaging 22.5. Saints 24.5. And Catalans 26.3. And the most entertaining team in the whole of rugby league, Hull KR are only averaging 20 points per game.
Oh, dear.
It's against Salford. That was the second most points Warrington have scored under Steve Price, being beaten only by the 63.
But they were wank.
Away at Hull in 2019. And it's the third time this year we've scored more than 40. And overall, the fifth time a Steve Price team has scored 50 points or more since he came to the club. Mm. And leading those points, as we mentioned earlier in this show, is Gareth Widdop, who is not even in the 35-man World Cup train-on squad that Shane Warne has decided to throw a googly at. Ooh. The halfbacks that are in the squad, Luke Gale, Johnny Lomax, George Bignose Williams, and then we've got two fullbacks who can cover.
He'd be good, wouldn't he? He'd be good in an avalanche because they might be able to find him because his nose would be sticking out of the snow.
You know what I was watching the other night? I was watching that Gods of Snooker. He's a spitting image for Kirk Stevens.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he
absolutely
is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a look at it. Ugh.
Gee, I never thought of that.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what we'll have to look at in the future. Rugby players as snooker players and vice versa.
You know who looks like Chris Hill? Willie Thorne.
No, we're not going with that one as much.
New section on the show. Write in for Warrington players which 1980s snooker players they depict. Carry on, Sam.
Okay, Widdop, prior to last night, because I thought it would be better to look at everyone in the same number of games. Prior to last night, he'd scored 6 tries, 5 assists, 28 tackle busts and 7 clean breaks. Luke Gale, albeit from just 4 games, no tries, 2 try assists, just 4 tackle busts and a drop goal. Pretty nothing. Mm. Lomax, 1 try, 8 try assists, just 21 tackle breaks and just 2 clean breaks.
Ooh.
And George Williams, big, I appreciate nose. He's playing in a more difficult competition.
He's sticking his nose out.
He played 10 games. In terms of tries scored, he's not in the top 50. In terms of try assists, 6. In terms of tackle busts, not in the top 50. Mm. In terms of clean breaks, not in the top 50. So, Widdop, so far this year, over the first 7 games, is far and away, head and shoulders, the best halfback qualified to play for England in the competition.
Tony Knowles. He looks like Tony Knowles.
Do you know what I was about to say? He looks a bit like Tony. I was racking my brains and thinking, Tony Knowles, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I never thought Tony Knowles really went on and achieved in the game what he could have done. He was a bit of a semi-finalist, Tony Knowles, wasn't he?
Mm. He was from Bolton, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that really was an avalanche of facts there, Sam, so that was brilliant. 1 in 3 victims buried in an avalanche are found alive. Does anyone know the most common reason of death in an avalanche?
Suffocation.
Hypothermia.
Well, actually, Sam, you've fallen into the category where everyone thinks it's suffocation. It's hypothermia. Hypothermia, as Dennis said, how much denser is the human body in compared to an avalanche when it hits the snow? How much do you think it? It's 3 times denser than the avalanche debris. So there you go. Yeah. Are your mics still on?
Yeah. Are you just doing facts now? Is that it? Jesus.
How many people?
This is really relevant.
How many people each year are killed by avalanches?
Not many in Australia, I wouldn't think.
We have some good snow, mate. We have some good snow here. Quite a few big mountains. 150 people.
Right, great. What are we going to do with that? Yeah.
Well, we can. That wasn't shit enough. This next section, Will.
Time now in tonight's schedule for Mutiny on the HJ. It seems this obnoxious little sitcom comes round quicker every week. I guess when you dread it as much as I do, it probably just feels that way. Life does seem to be passing me by quicker these days, though. I think with the ongoing pandemic, one feels an emotion of suspended animation. Still, Anything seems more animated than the script writing of this show.
Oh, Stevie, darling, are you sure this is the right way? The night sky's been pitch black for days now, offering us no sense of direction whatsoever.
Oh, I think it's safe to say our stars haven't twinkled recently, Rolfie.
Yes, it's like staring into a gormless, bleak galaxy.
I'm not sure flakes are made from galaxy, Rolfie.
Yes, and Captain Stevie, why can't we get any coordinates from our Daryl van der Velde gold-plated tackle bag compass?
Gee, Rolfo, it just doesn't seem to know which way to point. Its magnetic field is more confused than mate shipman Matty Russell under those high balls.
Now, let me see. Let me see if I can pinpoint our position, Stevie. Quick, pass me those old scrolls.
Well, that's no way to talk about our front row.
Now, Stevie, less of your newfound confidence. Pass me the map, please. You know, the rolled-up piece of paper that looks like your colouring book.
Oh, sorry, Rolfo. Here you go, big fella.
Oh, now, let me line up the left-edge player's crew against the defensive horizon. Oh, yes, just as I thought. We're as flat as a pancake. Oh, well, we must be on the map here somewhere. Here it is, right here.
The Bermuda Triangle, Rolfoy!
Oh, tackle sacks. Oh, it's even worse, Stevie. We've entered the Mississippi Showboat Triangle. It's the triangle known for a darkness of muffness. No man has ever escaped. It could be quite hairy sailing through there.
Oh, struth, Rolfie. Does this mean we're in for a sticky ending?
I doubt, Stevie, you'll have any end left.
Oh, the sharks, Rolfie? Oh, the box jellyfish?
Oh, no. The only living creatures in the Mississippi Showboat Triangle box are crabs.
We interrupt this podcast and the recording of Mutiny on the HJ to apologise sincerely for the next joke. I thank you.
Perhaps there's hope, Rolfie. My attacking teams are always crabbing sideways.
No, I think we're a gonorrhea. Oh, balls to it, Captain Stevie. To our action stations. Now, smear all the players and second cooks westward frying grease. It's the only substance known to man to protect seamen from a fishy seafood platter of such magnitude.
Oh, gee, Ralpho. It looks like we're too late. The current's pulling us right into the middle of the triangle's...
Oh, wait, Stevie. That's it. A bird in the hand is worth two in the hairy bush. Although the bushes in the Mississippi Showboat Triangle are big enough to house a flock. Let's launch Nelson. He's bound to guide us to land. He's always keen to jump ship when the going gets tough.
Right you are, Rolfie.
Oh, dear. I'd forgot the little sniffing shit can't fly. Fetch the buoyancy aid, Stevie. Chuck in Professor Broomhead's 86-inch empty pizza box. That should do it.
Why, you twats? Land ahoy, you shitters! I've seen fucking land and start a fucking board bow, Admiral Bribber.
Oh, thank you very much, Seaman Moran. Perhaps you could refrain from using that type of language on deck. It is Fleet Admiral to you.
Aye, fucking aye!
Oh, now this is an opportunity to lighten the load. Perhaps you would prepare a raiding party for the players' crew, especially the ones who are looking to jump ship. and ditch the flake while you're at it.
Right yous are, Rolfie. I'll remove his Latchford locks and stick him next to the cox.
No. Leave Abel Seawank Lynham where he is. Seaman Moran, prepare to disembark with 14 crew members.
Right, I'll do it. I've just finished putting this album together for Toby King. Right, what shall I do? Shall I take that fucking skiff over there?
Oh, well, that's no way to talk about, Stevie.
Hang on, everyone. Yous little ripper. I've ridden my luck through this sticky situation, Rolfie. Look over there. It's the jungle.
Oh, yes, and look, Stevie. There's a welcoming party on the beach. And if I'm not mistaken, they're waving at us.
Oh, they don't look too friendly, Rolfo. Nothing comes from good in the jungle. There's no resilience.
I'm not sure about that. Unlike you, Captain Stevie, Captain Powell won't throw in the towel.
First of all, I thought, when I was listening to the Bermuda Triangle and I heard Ralph come on, and I'd listened to Ralph talk on Sky on Thursday for the first time in a while, and I suddenly thought, whoever does that impression is actually not too bad. So there's a positive. A bit of a history lesson as well for all of our listeners that are under the age of 40. The Mississippi Showboat was a club discotheque type thing in the sort of late 80s and 90s off Flannel Street. And the 8.5 minutes of that episode felt longer than watching the Lord of the Rings director's cut.
You're not happy, Sam.
I tell you what, I listened to Daniel and then Mutiny back to back. Jeez, I was in a great place until then.
Oh, dear.
See ya.
Rumours! Everybody needs good rumours. We're the little understand. You can find your perfect blend. Come on, Stevie, join in, lad.
Rumours should be there for one another. That
That's when good rumours become good friends.
Jesus, I'm going to have to sing this at Lee as well. Christ.
Well, this section is getting longer and longer, rumours. We've got a whole heap of them this week, so we'll run through them and then we'll come up with some points of what we think about them all. Marmomite is on his way to Castleford. Prop Joe Bullock from Wigan to Wyre. Loose forward James Harrison from Featherstone to Wyre. Flaky Blake heading to Salford or the sunny beach resorts of either the Australian Gold Coast or Hull KR. The Truman Show continues and homesick Georgie Porgy is on his way to the HJ. Now,
I don't know about that.
I hope not. I don't rate Williams. I think Williams is playing in a very, very good team, but I think there's been a lot of people down in the ACT that have commented that he just doesn't take the game by the scruff of the neck. He floats in and out of the game. Sure, he's got a good little kicking game on him and he shows and goes and he can, you know, he's got more pace than the likes of Blake Austin, but I wouldn't be paying heaps of money for George Williams.
No, it's supply and demand though, isn't it, Rob? Because he's held his own in Australia, regardless of how it's all ended. He has held his own. So to do that in that competition means he's got something about him.
Yeah.
If he was to come back, when he comes back to Super League, because our competition isn't as good, he will be a standout player over here.
Yeah. Would you pick him if you could choose, you know, this year to run with Gareth Widdop or George Williams? Who would you pick, Sam?
Oh, no, I'd have Widdop and Williams if I could. I would. I like Blake Austin. I like it when he scores the great tries. But in terms of an all-round game, if you offered me Widdop and Williams as a pair, I'd snap your hands off.
But which one would you have? If you could just pick one at the moment, Williams or...
Widdop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dennis, we've spoken about this before. You know, he's a guy who makes a lot of the sort of quarterfinals. I think he possibly made the Mercantile Credit semi-final. But Kirk Stevens really always underperformed. I mean, it was more left to Thorburn or Big Bill Werbenick to bring home the Canadian pots.
It probably was, really, wasn't it? I mean, you know, again, he joined the wrong group, didn't he? You know, the bit of the Flash Boy group, and I think he lost his way a bit, especially... All right, there's no need to do the signs, Sam. Yeah, so... Oh, I've started now. yeah, so there's too much of that going on.
The Truman Show continues. I sent a little message, I think, to you boys during the Castleford game. I said, Truman's a bit lazy. Thought it was a few times he doesn't bend his back.
Yeah, I saw that later on because I was actually not looking at my phone during a game for once.
That's, good on you, sir.
That's how much good I was interested in
any
it.
Any swearing this week? Any drinking and
swearing? No, it was all well behaved in this new corner where I'm sat.
Could you imagine, Dennis, when the free bar goes in? When we write to Carl about the results of our vote. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It'd be awful. I've got a rumour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rumour that Tom Lynham is looking at life after rugby league by signing up with TomTom as one of their voices for 2022 on their sat-nav devices. TomTom representative said that along with the obvious name connection, Tom will provide a quirky alternative to their standard voices. They are currently looking to release the Tom Lynham option early next year. Once they've ironed out a few technical difficulties with Tom's voice when entering Twat, the small town in the Shetland Islands, for those people in Twitter, and for those on Facebook, that's in Scotland. That's the latest rumour on Tom Lynham.
Joe Bullock from Wigan to Wyre. My dad said straight away to me, Wigan don't let good ones go. Is enough said there? Oh, enough said on that?
I think it, from what I've seen, is significantly better than Kabula. He's got a different body shape. But yes, you're right. Wigan signed him because he's got great potential. But after 2 years, he's still a lad with great potential. So when is that going to actually come to fruition?
That's true. Loose forward James Harrison. Does anyone know anything about loose forward James Harrison? I think that one is nailed on, isn't it? I think that one is in the bank.
Carl's lad and lots of people.
Oh, is he?
Been, yeah, supposedly lots of people have been looking at him. And not that Carl. Lots of people have been looking at him.
What Carl's that?
Yeah.
Still there were all these Carls. Dear.
Carl fucking Harrison. That's who.
Oh, right. Okay. Was he any good, Carl Harrison? He was a big lump, wasn't he, Carl Harrison?
Yeah. Yeah. The hope is, although it's a different position, the hope is he'll be another Chris Hill. And he'll be picked for the championship and prove to be a star in the making. But
Rob,
we'll
safely saying
that
he's a big lump from the safety of his nice little house in Australia, which is a few thousand miles away from where Cal Harrison is.
Oh, dear. Flaky Blake. Do we give a shit?
No.
We do. We do.
Do we give a shit where he goes? Do we really?
Oh, I see what you mean. I saw somebody mentioning Leeds, but I don't know whether people are just mentioning any team that
anywhere
needs a halfback.
Anywhere. Okay. All right. Well, I think we've covered them all, haven't we, boys? Oh, no, we haven't. We've not covered the most important one, and that is Marmomite on his way to Castleford. We have started the Wat Bevan Keep Marmomite at the HJ. We can't let this lad go. I was thinking about the team last night. We've got two perfect centres going into next year in Toby King and Jake Marmo. Why would you let that guy go?
I think for me, with Jake Marmomite, or Momo, as he was on our league a couple of weeks ago, what he brings to the team is energy and speed and the dynamism. His defence isn't quite top notch, but what he brings going forward is excellent. And
you know who he looks like? Tony Drago, the Maltese guy.
He doesn't look anything like Tony Drago.
No! It's the only obscure one he could think of.
Well, I thought Maltese Marmo. I thought maybe he's the one to go for. He was shit, Tony Drago, wasn't he? He was rubbish.
Yeah. I think before we get bound up in too much more pot black, the thing for me with Marmo, if he's in your squad, he is wonderful cover for fullback, centre or wing. And if your first choice guy goes out, you're not dropping down much. He'll come in and he'll provide wonderful cover for you.
But why is he a cover player? Why has he got this? He's like that super sub at Liverpool in the 70s. What, he could...
Fairclough or Steve Davis.
This is the point I'm coming on to, Rob. This is the point I'm coming on to. The issue is, maybe that does him a disservice. And maybe what he wants is to play for a top half club and be the man, be the first choice. And I can't remember. Is he 26 or 27?
He's young.
Now?
He's got speed.
Yeah.
He could walk back into the NRL, that kid.
I'd love to keep him.
He's got to stay. He's got to stay, Dennis, hasn't he? Hey?
He has, yeah. I'm in total agreement. I think you should write a letter as well. We should write a letter.
If we let him go, it's a failure and it's unexpected.
It's time now for Fails or the Unexpected.
A wise man believes only in lies, trusts only in the absurd, and learns to expect the unexpected.
I personally think this story is funny. But if your sense of humour doesn't happen to be the same as mine, then I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disturbed by what goes on.
Right, well, this week I've been in contact with our resident psychologist. The first one, the unexpected, is called The Psychology of a Rugby League Commentator. This is good. So often we talk about the inconsistency of the Sky commentary team, and in the Warrington match this week, I think we hit new heights. During the game, Bill Arthur asked Barry McDermott a direct question, which is unusual. What followed was a period of silence before Barry responded, "I'm not answering because I'm thinking of something else." So I did question, what else could you possibly be thinking about? The fact that you are commentating on a rugby match, a few people on Facebook commented it as well. Isn't he supposed to be commentating? Isn't that his job? What's he watching on his phone, etc.? So it's speculation there in terms of what the hell he was thinking about. So what else could Barry be thinking about? Well, it was pointed out to me by this psychologist that there is a method to predict what Barry could have been thinking about. The neurointerpolygraph system method tells us to analyse words used in the commentary in the subsequent sentences. Look for those words with an interjection. From these words, we can go on to understand the subliminal meaning that the words could reveal about the psyche of the rugby league commentator's thought process mid-match. So we're looking for particular trigger words. So I've gone back through the game and listened to the transcript and identified these words using that fit in the NIPS process and method. From the collection of these words, we should be able to identify what Barry was actually thinking about. So here are the words. Tasty, he used that one. Referring to Salford's defence, like a dog's hind leg. Tom Lynham. Chips, referring to the chip over the top, and Ben Curry. So from those words, could you, any of you, think about what Barry would have been thinking about?
What takeaway he's going to get on the way home?
Rob, anything there?
Sorry, I haven't been listening.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, well, I actually sent a text
to be expected.
Barry McDermott, and asked him that very question, which I'll just send to you now. So I wrote to him, "Barry, last night Bill asked you a question followed by silence. You replied that you were thinking of something else. Can you confirm what you were thinking of? A, the car park, B, the dinner in the oven, or other, explain." Anyway, good old Barry came back to us straight away and just put food. There you go. I think that was the answer to that. I did actually go back to him and ask him, any particular dish? He just came back with, "No, just food, lots of it." And that was his response there. Interestingly, though, I was thinking of some trigger words that could probably set Barry off in the future, and I sent him this list as well. I identified a few players knocking about. Nathan Roebuck Deer, Arthur Romano Lettuce, Jacob Cracker Miller. We've got Gary Eden Cheese. Doesn't quite work, but it does in a way. Matty Full English Breakfast. It's a good one. Domino's Pizza Manfredi. Of course, we've got Chris Chicken Satay. Adam Caesar Salad. And obviously, you put Jake Marmamite all over them. So that was that. So there you go. That was the unexpected.
Well, I tell you what, that is. I mean, that was just a complete failure, wasn't it, by the two of them on Sky?
That was the unexpected. I'll go on to the failures. Right, so fails this week is Rimmer's Pot.
You've just done fails.
No, that was unexpected. This is fails. I'll explain.
You've just said it was this unexpected week. To fail. Didn't you just say fails there? Sam, didn't he just say fails at the start?
Oh, I'm very confused. To be fair, he said unexpected, but I felt it was a failure of commentary, and I don't think a failure of commentary with Sky is necessarily unexpected.
Yeah. Let's have a vote on this, right? Was it a fail or was it an unexpected? Hands up if you think it was a fail. Outvoted, Dennis, that was a fail.
Okay. All right. Well, this is unexpected then. Right. This week we've seen the story.
You just did unexpected before.
I'm doing fails now. This week we have seen the story about the licenses granted to the academy clubs, and this has caused such a controversy with regards to some of the well-known sides failing to be included. Clearly, there is an argument that this would be a disadvantage in some areas, which could be considered, you know, because rugby league is full of hotbeds of in certain areas. Although the Kooky nightclub in Wakefield also had a similar reputation, but that was for prostitutes. All this aggro and criticism has brought Ralph Rimmer out this week onto the TV, as Sam mentioned earlier. You know, it's not seen him for a long time.
He's a friend of the podcast, Dennis. Be careful what you say.
Yeah. Making an appearance on this TV, he was cornered with questions from the Sky detectives Carney and Connor, who postured the questions 6 feet away. Who won the argument on the academy licences, and was it the failing of Ralph and the RFL? Well, again, our resident psychologist had a chat with him. He identified two areas that he wanted me to look at in the appearance and body language of Ralph compared to the Connor and Carney detectives. We should be able to divulge from this who dominated and won the debate. Well, after my extensive research, I looked at this and I can confirm that Ralph clearly won the debate. And the 2 points that I've identified is, one, the wearing of tweed. It's described as both rugged and aristocratic, and it's both casual and refined. Tweed fabric and clothing is the original gentleman's performance wear, sporting a timeless look with a vintage poise that speaks of physical fitness and adventure, rather than a twat in an Inspector Clouseau coat. It's also been suggested that some patterns have a quite hypnotic effect on someone staring at it, especially those who are uneducated, I think that was the other panels. The second point, and this is the real one now, is power pose. Now, clearly, Ralph took the stance of the power pose during the interview, which is typically standing with your legs wide apart, his crutch and chest out, giving a sense of dominance and power. And I think...
Are we talking about Ralph here or those prostitutes in Wakefield?
Ralph. Definitely talking about Ralph. don't make the connection. I forgot where I am. Oh, anyway, back to it. The main thing is that, you know, actually, when you look at that stance and you type in, don't type that in, type
wide, Ralph. Wide stance with chest out. I'll just type that in, Dennis.
Oh, dear.
Do I need to put Wakefield into that Google search as well?
No. Anyway. I'm going to move on. My research has led me to the academic paper on this. The paper titled "Posing of Real Nonverbal Habits Undermines Bystanders," which is an interesting paper. It stresses that striking a triumphant posture or power pose for a couple of minutes causes the nervous system to kick in and affect behavioural changes in people, helping them to feel more powerful and perform tasks better. The paper also went on to explain that although the stance is difficult to maintain for long periods of time, it does say that a man's sexuality is increased by 30% when adopting this stance. So, I telephoned Ralph's office at the RFL to ask if he'd had any significant difference notable in his sexual prowess since adopting this stance. Unfortunately, his secretary answered saying he can't come to the phone at the moment as he's pulled a muscle in his groin.
Oh, fucking hell.
Sorry about that.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Can I
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Oh, dear. OK, on to the predictions. This Saturday at 5pm from Headingley, Wyatt take on Castleford for a place in the Challenge Cup final. We've talked about it at the top of the podcast, Sam, in terms of Castleford clearly put their entire team to bed this week. You weren't too sure about this prediction the other week. You fancied us beating them in the Super League, but you were a little bit apprehensive going into the Cup game. Have you changed your mind after our 487 tries?
No, I'm still apprehensive. I think it will be a very close game. Given the league form, I've got to fancy us to win, but I think it could be just 4 points in it.
Ooh. So you're going for a close scoreline, but with a wire win, and
yes,
we'll be off to the Challenge Cup final. Will you be able to go to the Challenge Cup final? Where are we at with that? What sort is that after the full open?
Yeah, it's July. As it stands now, there will be supporters at the Challenge Cup final. Obviously, we'll see what happens with
this. So is that a full stadium? I mean, it won't be a full stadium because it's the Challenge Cup final.
A lot of tickets have already gone.
Have they?
Yeah, I've had a lot.
Oh, okay.
All the best seats.
Dennis?
What are we talking about?
Oh. It takes all your energy to fail to an unexpected, doesn't it? It just wipes you out.
Saps me.
Castleford, yeah, well, you know, I think psychologically, I think we could, you know what, if we're going to score a few early points, I think that'll be it for Castleford. I think that they'll just crack and it'll be a bit of an embarrassing score for them.
Really?
I think we're likely to see or hear some C words coming from that DJ with a headband about Cass, and I don't think they're all going to be pretty C words either.
Yeah, we'll be at the free bar next week talking about Castleford, no doubt about it. So you're going for a Warrington win?
Yeah.
Right, okay. All right.
About you?
I've got to agree. I just think we've got the form halfback in the competition. I think Widdop's on fire at the moment, and it doesn't matter how long Castleford have been resting players and have them wrapped up in cotton wool. I can't believe they can just suddenly all come back into a team and play well for 80 minutes after being out for so long. And then you, on the back of that, we've got Gareth Widdop. So I just can't see us losing this one. As long as it's dry, don't want a wet day. We had a disaster against Salford, didn't we, 12 months ago in this same fixture. So I'll go Warrington as well. So we'll all be at Wembley, sitting next to Ralph, matching tweed.
Yeah. Yeah, I might get some tweed, actually. If I can sit near Ralph, I'll get some tweed.
Good on you. Okay, that's it. We'll be back after the semi-final. So from a man that is more than impressed, if he can raise a semi, it's a so long, not too long from Sam.
All the best.
And from his hovel somewhere north of the river, a man that can only dream of living in a semi, it's a thank you and good night from Dennis.
Be seeing you.
I'm Rob London, packing up the podcast and loading it back into the semi-trailer. We just need to move that dirty old mattress first. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Why have you got a mattress in the back of your trailer?
Take your underpants off and I'll show you.
Fucking hell.